No, we already have an intro song. You don't have to sing one. Oh, this is magically amateuring.
We've done it once again. We've gathered around the campfire to tell stories, to sing the songs of our ancestors, and to record a podcast about Magic the Gathering and how to learn Magic the Gathering or how to have fun playing it.
You guys, my name's Megan, and I forgot to bring the graham crackers. I'm really sorry.
My name's Ben, and I forgot to bring the Hershey's bars, and I'm not sorry at all.
Damn it, Ben.
My name's Maria, and I remembered to bring the wet t-shirt contest.
Maria, you're supposed to bring marshmallows?
No, that's a s'more, right?
Yeah.
Oh, graham crackers, chocolate, Hershey's, and wet t-shirts.
Yeah, because, you know, marshmallows.
Yeah.
I just have to say, I'm really tired of every time I say a food item to Maria, all she hears me say is wet t-shirt.
Yeah, what do you guys do at a campfire?
I make s'mores.
How are you guys drying out post-wet t-shirt contest, if not at a campfire?
How are you drying out post-wet t-shirt contest, if not at a campfire?
Hey guys, despite what you've just heard for the past 2 minutes, this is a podcast about Magic the Gathering.
Spring break!
Spring break edition. School's out for summer, so this is our spring break edition. We're a pair of magic amateurs, Megan and myself. Mm-hmm. Ben taught us to play about a year and a half ago, and now we're going hog wild on the game. I'm going to shoot myself for just saying that. Hog wild.
Really? Just totally apeshit. You've gotten apeshit all over this game.
Yeah.
It's impressive to watch.
Thank you.
As someone who's been around the block a few times, it's quite rare to see two new players dive so deep into the abdomen of a game.
So, this week on the show, we're going to be talking to you about aggro decks. What makes an aggro deck? If you're drafting an aggro deck, what kind of cards are you looking for? What types of aggro decks are there? Then we'll be talking about some new magic milestones.
Not to be confused with millstones.
Oh, yeah. Which Milio.
Is there a card called Milestone?
No.
But there is a card
Take
called
note, Wizards.
Milestone of Ugin. That'd be a good card.
Ooh.
Create a card. We'll do some create a card later.
There you go. And then we'll be talking about cons of Tarkir. I'll make a lot of incorrect speculation, and Ben will correct me after reading the Wikipedia page. Then we'll have a flavor text theater.
Get ready. Buckle up. Snap them down and twirl it in your fingers.
Twirl what in my fingers? Like a pen?
There's a card called Hivestone.
Oh, what does Hivestone do?
Don't tell me it makes bees.
It makes everything slivers.
Oh, interesting. How much does it cost?
About 70 cents.
I can't believe we've never made that joke on the show before.
I hate you.
It's amazing.
For the noobs.
Aggro decks. This is a segment that's near and dear to my cold dead heart because I love to play an aggro deck, ladies and gentlemen. You may know that about me. I identify as Rakdos, and Rakdos is the king of aggro. Red, white, Boros, you might think you're the king of aggro, but fuck you. It's
Whoa.
Rakdos.
Whoa, Maria.
I'm thrown down right here, right now.
No. Okay.
I mean, I feel like you're a little biased. Because,
why?
Because in Triple RTR, Rakdos was the aggro deck.
Yeah, that is true. And that's when I started playing. And that's the first deck I won with and also the first deck I ever played.
Yeah, but generally speaking, black decks tend to be a little bit more mid-rangey.
No, I would actually say that I think Boros colors are faster than red-black colors, usually.
So, but sometimes just mono-red.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, what the heck is an aggro deck, you guys?
An aggro deck is just looking to kill your opponent as fast as freaking possible.
Why? That sounds mean.
Well, because you want them dead, and then you've picked all of your cards based on their ability to make your opponent dead real quick. And if your opponent isn't dead real quick, then your chances of winning go down significantly.
Does that mean the best aggro deck is a turn one kill combo deck?
Oh, snap. That's not what that means. But good point. Because that's a slight...
That would be a combo maybe it deck, is. Then.
That would be a combo deck.
I wouldn't call that
but an
aggro
maybe
deck.
It's a combo aggro deck. I don't know. I feel like combo decks are a little bit of a different beast, and we'll be talking about them on our next episode. So tune in for that one.
What's the other property of aggro decks? Consistency. Oh. That's something you don't squeeze out of a combo melon.
That's very true. Combos can usually be really fragile melons. Very easily
easily sliced.
My melons crushable. Are so fragile, you guys.
Like, what's that guy? Gallagher?
Yeah, Gallagher.
He breaks melons.
Oh, okay.
That's not what it says on his business card, though.
He probably loves a combo matchup.
Gallagher, comma, melon breaker. It's his business card.
Consistency, what does that mean? Yeah, meaning that, mean, like, Ben? It usually...
Every card tastes the same.
Like banana?
Yeah.
Like schnozberry tastes like schnozberry.
Like, oh, what does this card do? Like 2 to 4 damage. Oh, what does this card do? I'd say like 2 to 4 damage.
Oh, what does this card next card do? Two to four damage. So one thing I have heard in terms of consistency also is that aggro decks tend to mulligan pretty well.
Yes, that's
because all of your cards do the same thing.
I love that about them. Like your opponent is, you know, green fatties or something, and they're like, "Oh fuck, if I, you know, don't draw lands, I'm just dead or whatever." And you're just like, "I mulled to 5 and look at my perfect hand. Don't care."
The aggro deck is kind of like it's like the predator.
Mm-hmm.
Keeps the other decks. The other decks have to evolve in order to survive it, or hide from it, or learn how to concede to it.
So, what deck is alien?
I would say any deck with the hive in it. I would say.
Damn it, Ben!
What's the one from Modern that's all artifacts?
Affinity.
That kind of seems like Alien.
Okay, yeah. I've never seen Alien, so.
What?
Yeah, me neither.
What?
We're you both guys? Working off of a complete lack of reference material.
You guys, both Alien and Aliens are really good.
Okay, is Aliens?
I agree. I've heard they're excellent.
I'm strapping you both down. You're gonna watch both of them after this episode marathon.
And then we'll next episode we'll talk about what decks
aliens are. So.
Please, listeners.
Yeah, what were we talking
mail
about?
Mail us a copy of Alien and Aliens. Unless they're on Netflix, then don't bother.
Aggro decks, consistency. What kind of cards are in aggro decks? Repeatable damage, one-time effects, spells, bounce,
cheap dudes.
Counter spells.
Sometimes just a lot of burn.
Burns?
Yeah, like so there's
direct damage?
Yeah, just
so
you know,
anything
some magma.
Says target player, target
right to
creature.
The face.
Yeah, some magma jets, some lightning strikes.
You dome them? What's domum? Yeah. Domum.
Domo origato. That's where they came the phrase from.
The dome is another player's face. That's when you target them directly to damage them. But do you? Is that what you want to do with your burn cards?
With a burn card? I mean, sometimes the answer is very yes.
Yeah.
All you want to do is you want to burn that person as much as you possibly can. But aggro decks are usually more creature-based, though. They have a lot of very efficient creatures. So a lot of like, you know, like 3 power for 2 mana type situations. Or like a Boros Reckoner, which is really resilient. Because if they block it, then you can still redirect damage to your opponent. You know, it's a creature that's very hard to block. It's very efficient. It's 3 power, 3 toughness for 3 mana. Solid card.
Small land count?
Yeah, you can run less, fewer lands.
Mm-hmm. How low can you go?
I've gone to 15. It was dangerous.
What about in a constructed deck?
I am bad at land counts for constructed, but I think it's going to be somewhere in the low 20s. It's going to be your land count.
Okay. Yeah, sounds about right.
Let me have a chat with you listeners real quick. Come here. Come closer.
Okay.
Scoot in. In limited and draft especially, when you're building an aggressive deck, it is important to keep in mind that you need some tricks in your deck to back up the fact that you have lots of little wimpy dudes.
Tricks?
Yeah. So like instance, to pump your guys. Or like Megan said, burn, to burn their guys out after you've done a couple of damage to the creature and you want to finish him off with a stake through the heart.
Mm. Yeah. So in limited, cards like that, cards that are especially nice to be drafting in limited aggro decks, obviously creatures are always important, but what makes them, I feel like, very successful is in like the red X aggro decks, which means like red and whatever other color you're pairing it with, is like your magma sprays, which is that one red for 2 damage to a creature. Your magma jets, lightning strikes, bolt of Karanos, fall of the hammer, things that can allow you to do damage.
Allow you to keep attacking. Right. One thing that's so great about a trick is, say your opponent's got one monster creature, you know, a 3/3, a 2/4, something big. It's mm-hmm. like, how am I ever attacking with my 2/1s and my 2/2s again for the rest of my life?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you have one trick and 3 creatures, you can still attack into that. If you have 3 creatures and no tricks, you can't really.
Yeah, because then your guy's just going to get eaten.
But the same thing you could also be said or be saying about cards that like bounce cards.
Yeah.
Removal spells, falter effects.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I feel like in blue, usually it's like a blue-white aggro or a blue-red aggro. You can also get like those sudden storm effects, which tap your opponent's creatures
tempo.
Down. Yeah.
Tempo. There's not a lot of effects, but anything that makes a creature not able to block.
That's called a falter.
Pretty good. That's called a falter effect, yes. So like Arena Athlete, it would be an example. His heroic ability does that.
An Elite Skirmisher.
Oh, good call.
That taps them.
Snare ability.
Yeah, like the tap cat snare caster. So is that technically called a falter?
No.
What's that technically called?
Snare? I don't know. Tap? Tap effect? It's called a tap effect.
Unique opportunity to name.
It's basically better because you can also use it on your opponent's turn sometimes.
Yes. The Elite Skirmisher effect, you mean.
So Glimpse of the Sun God. That's tap effect.
Yeah. Oh, that's a real juicy spicer.
Mm-hmm. That one's, I feel like, particularly powerful because you can, if you have a lot of mana, tap everything.
Tap everything.
You scry fuck.
Tap everything.
It's how good is scrying in an aggro deck?
It's so good because once you hit, the thing about aggro decks is once you hit like 4 or 5
lands,
you don't want to draw another land ever. Ideally, you're never drawing another land.
And because the cards are so consistent, usually any spell is good.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Do you ever think it that way when you're falling asleep in your dream beds?
I mean, if all of your cards are pretty much the same thing, then it makes sense that any card is good.
And maybe when it's late at night and you can't fall asleep, you just count them as they go by in your head.
Count one Titan Strength, one Fall of the Hammer, one Elite Skirmisher.
Resko's Swift Claw.
One of Johnny's presents.
Relink Leader.
Hi, guys. So in Born of the Gods, I feel like aggressive decks were very, very strong. Like, that was very much the deck to beat.
Born of the Gods, Theros, red, white. You cannot beat
stupid,
that deck.
Yeah, those stupid red, white decks. And so you definitely, I feel like in Journey into Nyx, it's become less dominating, but you still need to have
a
plan.
You
still need to have a plan for your opponent who's going to try and come in and smack your face with a bunch of Oresco Swift Claws.
Mm.
Gotta be like, buddy, shut that down.
Yeah, that's what I kind of mean by the whole Predator thing. It just keeps all the other decks in check, keeps them from getting too slow, too out of touch with the reality. It's like, hey, man, if you're gonna come into my home and I didn't invite you and you're just naked, I'm gonna trip you.
You are the lamest Home Alone kid.
I'm gonna trip you with my gun.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna get my gun, turn off the safety, and trip you.
Okay. I get it.
Weird.
I get it. Our British listeners right now don't understand.
Oh, you could do it. You could trip them with anything. Maybe a poker,
like a broom
for your fireplace.
Or a fire poker. I like that.
That's a great tripper.
That's very British.
Great tripper.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So in Limited, you're looking for cheap, cost-effective creatures. You're looking for some tricks. You're looking for some of that cheap, like, burn or removal.
To finish
them
off.
To play against with it.
That's always a goal.
Some friends to play against. Always good. And Constructed.
Some sleeves to put the cards in.
Yeah, I'm probably looking for those.
Like a table to put them on.
Oh,
maybe,
geez.
Like, a wife.
What?
Just one day.
You're looking for a wife?
I mean, people in general.
Maria, I'll find you a wife. Don't worry.
A husband? A hetero life mate?
Oh, a love maker.
Right. Is that? I want you to go down to the courthouse and be like, I'd like to apply for a lovemaker license.
Yeah. So in Constructed the past season, aggro has taken a couple of different forms, which is fun and interesting.
Oh.
Obviously very dominating has been some version of like mono red or red splash white or like a white weenie. There's the white weenie that has that Brave the Elements, which gives all of your white creatures protection from something for a turn. So that very much has, you know, like Boros Elites, which is that little like one mana, 1/1 that gets +2/+2 if you have battalion. Stuff like that.
You guys remember battalion?
Yeah, I remember battalion. Those red decks have focused at least a lot on the power of those are a little bit more expensive. They're still looking to do early damage, but then they really kind of try and close out the game with like a Fanatic of Mogus or maybe a Stormbreath Dragon. So they're a little bit heavier on the top end.
Mm.
Ben, you like decks heavy on the top end? Yeah. What's interesting is for a long time, I always forgot that Mono Blue Devotion is really an aggro deck because everyone always calls it Mono Blue Devotion. So you're like, it fits into like the devotion type of deck. But Mono Blue is really just trying to be an aggressive deck. Yeah, you're trying to slap them around with some Cloudfin Raptors.
You're trying to slap them, clap them, and trap them.
Yep, slap them, clap them, trap them. Like I always say. Deal your 20 damage and get the fuck out of there.
And then crap on them.
Maria.
What?
Do you crap on opponents?
Wizards has no rule stating I cannot poop on somebody after they beat me.
Ben, can you look this up?
Wizards has no rule. Ben, can you look this up?
I want to know if Wizards has any rule related to
human defecation.
Pooping on someone.
It is my artistic expression.
Are we... Okay.
Am I not a free American? Am I not allowed to live as I see
Look,
fit?
I think that if you poop on someone as a free American, they as a free American have the right to punch you in the face. And I don't
that
say that
assault.
Often.
That is assault, and you are going often. To jail for assault.
The terms poop, shit, defecate, and papa squat do not... are not in the Magic the Gathering
He is actually
rules.
Searching those words, everybody. He is not
Okay,
kidding.
I'm not saying... Okay, they probably don't specifically use those words.
Oh,
but
I'm sure it's in there under tournament got you have to be a good human being or some shit like that.
So anyways.
The mono black deck I initially thought was going to be an aggro deck in standard, but it really wasn't.
No,
I don't think
there was a there's been a little bit of a rise in like kind of mono green devotion, which has like Colonian Tuskers and other lots of green things, and Nylea, you know, other green
other
things.
Lots of green things,
other lots of green things. Mm-hmm. Also aggro green white. With their fleece mane lions. The problem they run into, and also a way that they keep other decks in check, is with the control decks, they're very much constantly asking, like, do you have a supreme verdict? Do you have a way to kill them a shit?
And but if you then can if be you like, do, do yes. you, if they do, do you lose?
If they do have a supreme verdict, you're probably in trouble.
So this is the risk you take with playing an aggressive deck, is that you might get some reward of having a good draw early on in the game and being able to mulligan several times and not take any pain for it.
Mm-hmm.
But the risk is that if you cannot kill them fast enough,
you might
you
get
lose.
Yourself four
and there's,
for one.
And there's just like nothing you can do about it.
So well, that's why some of the red decks have taken to, you know, like Stormbreath Dragon. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, if I get your life total low enough and you verdict me, well, then I'm seeing like, can I draw a Stormbreath Dragon before you can Sphinx's Revelation and gain some life?
That's a card that's got reach because it's got haste and evasion.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to get theorized about it, theoretical, book learned.
Sure.
Yeah, give me book learned.
The cards in the aggro deck are usually 1-for-1 cards at best. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're even worse than 1-for-1. But you have more of them because you're playing more spells, fewer lands.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're cheaper, you're going to get them out on the table before your opponent can do whatever, you know, whatever slow house they're trying to build out of stupid cards. Am I right, friends?
Yeah. And that's Aggro Dex. Do 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 do.
If you're looking to play Aggro Dex and Constructed, I recommend checking out Red White Burn has been doing pretty well in the past few months. Mono Red Devotion. Mm-hmm. Or look up White Weenie. There's like, it's the Brave the Elements.
Don't Google of that. White Ad work.
Also, I recommend Blue White Believe in Yourself.
Blue White Believe in Yourself?
Yeah.
Haven't heard of that.
More of a life philosophy than the magic deck, per se.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, totally.
Magic milestones. Hey, you guys. Some of our listeners have been real awesome pants and have been listening to us since episode one.
Mmm.
Episode one, the whole way. Some of them have found us.
Wow.
Years later.
Even I haven't been listening since episode one.
To episode one, and they listened to our entire journey. Did you know that?
Wow.
They've been with us the whole way.
Thank you. Wow.
Thank you for that. And we like to
get
every
into
so
our
often.
Arm hug.
Come into this hug.
Get into our auditory hug.
I'm sorry how I smell. I know
she
it's,
has cats.
I know it's
she
amazing.
She has cats.
So, I was going to say, don't fall in love because I smell amazing. Ben ruined it.
You've been around while we've gone through some stuff. Well,
right.
We've been on our journey.
Oh.
We've had some milestones.
Oh.
And Maria and I feel like we've recently reached,
yeah,
reached
a new one.
A new magic milestone.
So we want to let you know about it. And if you have reached any of your own, we'd love to hear about your successes and victories. Just tweet at us at MTAcast. Today's milestone is 8 4s on Magic Online.
Maria, what does that even mean?
So you can draft Magic Online.
Does it?
Online.
Have you won 84 packs?
Probably over the history of my time playing. You can play in certain different kinds of draft events online. And the bottom is called a Swiss, I suppose, if you want to say
the bottom.
I don't know.
Wow.
The lowest payout for winning?
Yes, the lowest payout for winning is a Swiss draft.
Which there's no elimination. You just play all three rounds and you get a pack per win.
Okay.
Next up is a 4-3-2-2. Winner gets 4 packs, second place 3, et cetera, et cetera.
Third
hold
and fourth
up.
Get 2
hold
packs
up.
Apiece.
What?
Hold up.
Am I missing something?
What?
No. I just don't think you can rank them like that.
No, I'm not trying to rank. I'm just saying, like, I know 4-3-2-2s aren't good to play.
Listeners, don't play 4-3-2-2s.
Ben, why shouldn't I play a 4-3-2-2?
Because your expected value is lower.
Oh, tell me more.
Well, if you do math, then you end up with fewer packs on average. Trust me.
Oh, because an 8-4, which we'll talk about in a second, has a total payout of 12 packs, and a 4-3-2-2 only has a total payout of 11 packs.
Mm-hmm.
And a Swiss has a payout of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
It's 12 packs.
12 packs.
Would
count
you play
them.
It if it was a 5-3-2-2?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Take note, Wizards. Again. Anyway... 8-4 is the upper echelon, and that's where, you know, most advanced players will play, because first place gets 8, second place gets 4.
And everybody else gets fucking nothing.
Single elimination.
Yeah, man.
So it's, like, scary.
This is where a lot of cool kids hang out.
Kids are there.
There's a lot of drug dealers in the 8-4 queues.
You'll play against some pros from time to time.
You play against some, robots that have achieved sentience.
Yes, you will.
You'll play against some eternal dragons that are over 8,000 years old.
Wow.
President Barack Hussein Obama plays 8-4s.
You will play against...
I don't know why I said his name like that.
You'll play against...
oh, God.
Enchanted pictures that know how to play magic, like a portrait.
Like a candlestick? A French candlestick?
You play against French candlesticks.
Oh, awesome. Very cool. So,
comic book villains?
Shut up. What we're saying.
So why are, Maria, tell me about a little bit about why are some reasons why you would choose to play a Swiss or why you would choose to play an 8-4?
Okay, so when I started playing Magic Online, which has been for a solid, I don't know how long.
I think we're about at a year.
Okay. I've been playing Swiss, maybe less than a year, but Swiss.
Your Magic Online careers are teething.
Yeah.
They really they are. They're starting to bite. They
in
cry
a good
all
way.
The time.
I played a lot of Swiss because it was where you should play to play more, because you play every round. It's not single elimination.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just want to play some magic, get into a Swiss.
You got to put some reps in, you know. You got to play some games. You got to learn what might happen. You got to learn what, you know, double blocks are.
Exactly. Yeah.
You have to learn how to not misclick shit.
right?
Which I still do.
Everyone still
all
does.
The time.
Gotta learn how to be able to finish a match without timing out.
Wait,
stay
can
up
I,
on the clock.
Yeah. Can I tell you guys?
Remember when you used to time out?
God, I only ever lost one game by timing out, but it was the worst.
You ever timed out on a plane? I've timed out on a plane. Doesn't feel good.
You guys, I'm just gonna take a second to tell you, speaking of misclicks, the other day I was playing and
misclick of the week.
It was really the misclick of the week. Yeah. I wanted to block his creature with my Kiora's follower. His creature is attacking me. I want to block it with my Kiora's follower. What do you think I did
Why
instead?
Why did you want to block with your Kiora's follower? That card is great.
Because I was going to die and I had like 8 mana.
Did you use your Kiora's follower to untap his creature?
I sure did, Ben. I sure fucking did.
You gave him vigilance. That's beautiful. That's so nice of you.
I tapped my Kiora's follower and untapped his dude.
Megan, I bet I can beat your misclick of the week.
Tell me about
misclick
it, Ben.
Misclick of the week.
Well, my misclick of the week is that I paid the IRS $9,000 more than I intended to. That was my misclick of the week.
While non-magic related, I will still award you misclick of the week.
Ben wins misclick of the week. That's
brutal. probably in contention for misclick of the year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, anyway.
Misclick of the tax year.
So Swiss, it actually is a really good place to learn, like, oh, this is how you play Magic Online. Literally just the physical playing Magic Online.
Mm-hmm. And like Ben said, getting the reps in.
Yeah, exactly.
Like when a format switches over, I do actually like to play Swiss because I just want to get familiar with all the cards and what they do.
Exactly.
Also, it's fun in the winter because you make yourself some hot chocolate.
Put some marshmallows
in
that.
And then you're drinking and playing Swiss.
And you're having a white t-shirt contest.
Drinking Swissmas.
And
I am a Swissmas playing Swiss.
Have you guys ever skied the Alps while playing a Swiss Q?
Oh my God.
I've skied the Alps while playing a Swiss and drinking Swissmas.
Hold on. You could be on a ski lift and you could play.
That's a good point, but I don't know why I would.
You can just go around because of the view.
But is it cold?
Yeah, but you've got a little thermos with you of hot choc-choc.
Don't what do you ever think? Call it that again.
You want some hot choc-choc?
No. So I remember I actually started playing 8-4s at the end of Triple Theros, but then Born of the Gods came in and just wrecked my world for a little while.
There's an alarm going off somewhere. Yeah. Ben, go find that out.
So I was so terrible at Born of the Gods for a while. I went back to Swiss because I was like, I need to just practice playing this format. I have no idea, you know, what's going on with it.
And 8-4s are attractive because you get to play against, I would say, on average, better players.
I really do think so. Not all of them are good.
Not all of them, but on average.
They are, on average, better players.
And you get 8 packs if you win. Or you can always, you know, sometimes people split the finals and you get 6-6.
It's such a good feeling.
It is awesome.
It's such a good feeling when you win 8 packs. You feel like the king of the world.
And for a long time, I have been scared of playing 8-4s because I didn't want to make my monetary investment in playing a draft and then only play one round and then lose and then I'm done.
Yeah.
I didn't want that to happen. And I was scared about playing like first round against somebody who is extremely good and then just blowing me out of the water. And what am I sitting here doing with my deck in my hand? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally know.
But I want to say something to 8-4s right now.
What?
It's my milestone. Hey, 8-4s, I'm not scared of you anymore.
No, my power
is gone. I'm not scared of you
anymore.
I feel like
what I am. I'm a skeleton with a mop over its head.
I'm serious. I used to be like scared, and now I go in to play him, and I'm not.
Yeah, because you know what? Even if you lose that first round,
you'll win the next one.
And it's usually because my deck wasn't good enough. I know it.
Exactly. So
not because you're not good enough.
Right. On a human level.
That's an important distinction.
It is actually. Mm-hmm. I mean, people take magic personally when they play. So
you feel like when I lose, sometimes I feel like a real dum dum.
Yeah,
man.
And you don't mean the sucker.
No, I mean like a real grade A moron, zero brain cell, dirt sucking, ignorant. unable to do math, first grader who is 30 years old.
Wow.
31.
Well, I don't even feel like I have the maturity of a 31 year old.
So I'm feeling really good about 8.4s right now, and I just want to share that with you listeners, that one day you will get there. If you're not there yet, you'll get to that place.
And also, if you're not there yet, or you know someone who's not there yet, don't hate on them. Don't hate on yourself.
No.
Because do you know what? We need Swiss Qs.
Yes.
I needed a Swiss Q for like a year. And yeah. So don't be real mean about
also,
it.
Also,
is a Swiss Q like a training bra?
A training bra doesn't really do anything, though.
It's more like training wheels on a bicycle.
Yeah.
So a training bra is more like the voucher they give you for like the 4-player intro draft.
Yeah.
Yeah. That you never use.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yep. Yep.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Got it.
So Maria, have you had any sweet draft decks lately?
I've had a ton of sweet draft decks.
Paint us a picture with your words about them.
Well, if you follow us on Twitter at MTAcast, you can see some of them. I usually tweet if I win, just to show off my deck, because I'm a big show off.
And it makes it seem like you always win.
Yeah, that's not the case. But actually, I have been really doing super, super good in this format.
Do you think you're on a hot streak, or do you think this is how your life will be from now on?
No, I think I'm on a hot streak. Like, I know it will not always be like this. But I think I've kind of figured out the proper evaluation of cards in this format.
Nice.
Yeah, I had a pretty sweet green-white deck. It's been a lot of them. I had a green-red one, which typically is not very good in this format, I don't think. But that worked out for me.
Was there something about that green-red deck that made it pop?
Pop it and lock it.
Oh, I don't know that card.
my two Ravenous Lucrocrotas didn't hurt.
Lucrocrotas.
Oakheart Dryads, a pair of those fellows didn't hurt. You know, it's just solid curve.
Mm-hmm.
This is my tip for everybody out there. This isn't like a secret, but I do believe green is the best color in this format.
Ooh.
But I do think the format is really well balanced. I think you can make a good deck in just about any combination. But green, I think, is strong. And blue-green, I think, is the strong guest.
Oh.
Yeah, blue-green is... Blue-green's a little bit wrecking it right now.
Yeah.
I'll get on board.
Get on board.
So
I'd permanently add that to my life.
Ben, you're going down the courthouse to make it your lovemaking partner?
Guys, don't... I haven't even asked blue-green yet. Okay.
Okay, blue-green talked to me yesterday, and she was like, I'm into it.
Go for it, Ben. Follow your dreams.
She's also pregnant. She told me she's pregnant.
No. How is that possible?
I had a sweet deck in colors that I don't know that I've played in this format, which was Izzet colors. It was blue-red aggro.
That's so cool.
It was super sweet because you get all of the sweet tempo stuff that blue has, like some sudden storms or some voyages ends, and then you get some burn that red has, like you get your magma sprays and your bolt of Keranos.
Did you have storm collar of Keranos?
I did not, but I did have two sigiled skinks and a flame speaker adept.
That's the combo I was looking for.
Nice.
Do you know what's so good is like you're filling out your curve and then you hit five mana and you slap down a skink and a flame speaker and you're just like, boom.
Guess what's happening next turn?
Guess what? You're going to get your face wrecked. That was also the draft where at first I was like, oh shit, I bet I'm doing this wrong. But I was very happy with it afterwards. Was I first picked a Mogus' Warhound over a spawn of Thraxes.
Correct.
Ooh.
Because I was like, if I take this spawn and pass this Warhound, someone's going to be like, red is open. And you don't want the person on your left to be open or to be drafting red if you're drafting red, because Born of the Gods is the best for red.
Oh, the boomerang effect.
And so I was literally just like, oh, if I take this spawn past the Warhound, they'll think red is open. But if I take the Warhound and pass the spawn, no one will give a shit.
Correct.
Don't crap where you eat, guys.
Yep.
And don't crap on the guy that's going to have a chance to crap on you.
And also probably don't crap on anyone during a tournament, because even though it doesn't say don't crap on people in the rules, I think it's probably illegal.
I think it's probably illegal.
You know what? I'm just going to go out there and say don't crap on people unless it's for very specific sexual reasons.
And they are on board with it.
Oh, yeah.
That too. They should probably be on board with it.
No one wants a surprise Duke. We're going to do a recreation when I was asked to split recently in my 8-4. And this is a momentous moment for me. I've never been asked to split before. And I decided, why not? Let's see what happens. And
Did you win the role?
No. The person who wins the role asks, right?
What?
Isn't that tradition? If you win the die roll in the 8-4, you are the person who can offer the split. Otherwise, you can't.
No.
Anyone can offer the split.
Anyone can offer the split. Oh. I think the tradition is that whoever wins the roll, they're the one who wins the match. So, like, the other person will concede.
So they get the QP?
Yeah, I guess. But
that's negotiable.
Sure. Everything in life is negotiable.
So much to learn. Anyway.
Except for my love.
Weird.
Megan and I are going to recreate this conversation we had.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to...
What are you going to... Okay.
I'm this stranger.
I'm going to be the old guys in the Muppets.
Okay.
Great.
Statler and Waldorf.
All right, here we go. Hi. Split?
Sure. I've actually never split before. Do I just concede?
Really?
I just moved over from Swiss about a month ago, so it's probably part of it.
To where? America?
Boom! Boom!
Oh, this, I think, do you know if this person was in earnest?
Big shout out to STRS on Magic Online for that joke. I'm pretty sure it was a joke, but if it wasn't, still hilarious.
Either way, quality humor. Cons of Tarkir, you guys. Coming this September.
Oh, to a theater near you.
You ready to get your cons on?
Yeah.
Totally.
I'm ready to Tarkir some cons.
Do you believe that there will be an archetype called Mono Con? I'm drafting Mono Con.
Really hope that there is.
My plan is to just, it's a pretty easy format. You just draft all the cons.
Yeah, just draft Mono Con, man.
Okay, let's make predictions about specific draft archetypes, even though we don't know anything about them.
Okay. Orcs.
Orcs? Okay, you like orcs?
I'm going to guess that there's going to be an archetype called Complete Lack of Dragon.
Oh.
It's where all of your creatures aren't dragons.
Yeah. Get some kind of bonus.
Because on Tarkir, all of the dragons were killed.
Mm.
They left. I don't know which one. They were either killed or they left. No more dragons on Tarkir, you guys.
Oh.
And Tarkir is the home plane of Sarkin Vol. Sultan of Bol.
Who's Sarkin Vol?
Sultan of Bol?
I think he's a planeswalker from days gone by.
He was obsessed with dragons, and he went mad. And then I think he sold his soul or his sanity to Nicol Bolas. Anyways, he thought Nicol Bolas was great because he's a dragon.
He worked for Nicol Bolas. Okay. Nicol Bolas is one of the biggest employers in magic.
What does he hire people to do?
Oh, all kinds of stuff, like transport shit around between planes, just like activate like ancient mana sources.
Why can't he do it?
Because he's a giant dragon. Have you seen this?
He can't even fit in most doors.
Nicol Bolas doesn't need to fit through a door.
You guys, can we have an episode where we talk about the economics of magic, but not the game magic? I mean,
in the
multiverse.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the economics of the multiverse.
Yeah.
The multiverse.
Sure.
That would make me so happy.
Nicol Bolas has employed Tezret, the Seeker. Mm. He's employed Jace at times.
Oh, Jace.
Going over the dark side? Is Nicol Bolas
I don't think
bad?
Jace even knew.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like when I didn't know my boss did a porn film in the 70s?
Yeah. I still don't know that about my boss.
Yeah, well.
Sarkin Vol, his job was to fuck up some shit on the plane of Alara.
Hmm. Just in general?
He was supposed to activate one of the like runes that would force the planes to all merge into each other.
Oh, so like Pangea.
Mm. Yeah. He was one of the Pangea guys.
So
it makes sense that he would work for Nicol Bolas, right? Because he's obsessed with dragons. And Nicol Bolas is basically the most impressive dragon left.
Yeah,
right?
Man. Yeah.
Although it is kind of weird because he has opposite colors of Nicol Bolas. He was red-green when he first appeared.
What's Nicol Bolas?
Nicol Bolas is...
Blue-black?
I guess he's blue, black, red. Red. So they're not completely opposite.
And Mark Rosewater has yet to answer my question about why Nicol Bolas is floating an egg between his horns.
Oh. I'm sure you'll know someday.
Oh, I'll never know.
Why do you think? Maybe he was in an Easter egg hunt and he still doesn't know where it is.
You guys, why are you all laughing at me? I can't find the last egg. What's so funny?
I can smell the chocolate, but I don't know where it is.
Aww.
Oh my God.
Poor guy.
So do you think his abilities is there only one planeswalker, Sarkhan Vol?
There's two versions. Let's read the first version, Sarkhan Vol, 2 red, green. He's a planeswalker. His name is Sarkhan. That's his planeswalker type. And creatures you control get +1/+1 and gain haste until end of turn. That's his +1 ability. He starts out at 4 loyalty. For a -2, if you want to tick him down 2, then you gain control of target creature until end of turn. Untap that creature, gains haste until end of turn.
Threat.
So like a free threatened effect. And for -6, put 5/4 red dragon creature tokens with flying onto the battlefield. 5 dragons is a lot of dragons.
That's a lot of dragons.
You did put 5 dragons up? I wasn't listening because I remembered when we did the planeswalker that was put 10 bees.
Yeah. It's like putting Eric, 10 bees.
Eric color
but you
bees.
Get those 10 bees in the form of 5 dragons. Okay. I'll take my 10 bees as 5 dragons. It's like getting a salad, yeah. sorry, we can't switch out the starch.
That's really funny that his flavor is so built into his ultimate ability.
Guys.
Mm. Yeah.
Have you ever seen a planeswalker that only goes down?
What?
I heard Liliana only goes down.
The second version of Sarkhan is Sarkhan the Mad. This is a card from Rise of the Eldrazi. He costs 3 black red.
This is what I was saying, where he went crazy.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Oh, yeah. We're not talking about angry.
He went crazy.
This guy starts out at 7 for a 5 mana planeswalker. But he has no plus ability. He has a 0 ability that says, reveal the top card of your library and put it in your hand. Sarkhan the Mad deals damage to himself equal to that card's converted mana cost.
Oh.
Wow, that's crazy.
Crazy.
I really like this design.
And for -2, target creature's controller sacrifices it. Then that player puts a 5/5 red dragon creature token with flying onto the battlefield.
Mm.
So you can upgrade or maybe downgrade.
Downgrade your opponent's creature into a 5/5 dragon?
Maybe. Or for -4, so you only get to use this once, each dragon creature you control deals damage equal to its power to target player.
Oh.
That ain't bad.
Don't kick that
out of bed.
That's so cool.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, because it's kind of like, well, I can use both of the other... I can use both of the minus abilities once and maybe draw a card and kill him. Mm. Or I can, and you can always use the 0 ability, the 0 cost ability, even if he only has 1 loyalty left.
Oh, mm-hmm. Sweet.
Man, you guys missed out.
Yeah.
I missed out. I never played that set.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of like backwards, what you don't expect a planeswalker to be.
Yeah.
So do you think he'll still be mad? Or do you think he's over it?
Or does does this somehow take place before he went mad?
Sarkhan Vol, Prozac.
You still mad, bro?
You still mad, bro? Hey, Sarkhan. You mad?
You mad, bro?
You mad? My prediction is that in the first two...
You'll be mad.
In the first two sets... No, there will be no dragons. And then the third set, fucking dragons come back.
Whoa.
I do believe one of the sets is called Dragons of Tarkir, so...
Oh, snap! There's going to be a lot of dragons.
My prediction is...
And they're going to wreak havoc on the
every games. Card in the set will have a subtype dragon. That's my prediction.
That's insanity.
Basic land, forest, dragon.
Creature, I predict there will be a card dragon. That will turn a land into a dragon. It is still a land. What do you think?
Do you think there are any cards like that
it's
right now?
It's called Dragon Mountain.
That flavorfully does not work. When does a mountain become a dragon?
When it is sleeping in the mountain and it comes out.
Okay. But I feel like then you would sack the land.
You ever
land
seen a card called Dragon Skull Summit?
No.
No.
It's a dragon skull.
Shit. Oh, it is a dragon skull.
When does a dragon turn into a land?
Whoa. when it dies and then its mouth somehow becomes a volcano.
If you look at the art for Dragon's Fall Summit, it looks like it's kind of a dragon-shaped skeleton volcano.
But maybe
and that... in the promo art, you can if you look in the background, you see something that looks like a lot like a sideways Dragon's Fall Summit.
No way.
Believe it.
Interesting.
Cool.
All right. So you guys, get excited. Cons of Tarkir. Although, I'm going to miss Bestow, you guys.
So am I. It's a good mechanic.
I like it. I like it a lot. It makes life interesting.
Instead of Bestow, Megan, we'll get something better called Spear Hand.
What is Spear Hand?
You can attach a creature to another creature. It gets the plus of its power to the other creature.
Yeah.
And it gets negative from its toughness to the other
creature.
That
sounds awful.
Yeah.
Spear Hand.
The rules do not support that, even a little bit.
That sounds terrible.
Also sounds like Bestow.
But worse.
I mean, worse.
Potentially better if you can do it to your opponent's shit.
Oh, you can do it to anything. Any card.
A land? Can you do it to a land?
So Spear Hand, that's your vote for a keyword?
No, I stand by Dragon Mountain.
Dragon Mountain?
Yeah.
I've heard that people suspect that flanking will return. Flanking was a mechanic where if the creature is attacking and it has flanking and it's blocked by a creature without flanking, the attacking creature gets +1/+1.
That is a confusing mechanic, first of all.
That is a very confusing
mechanic. But it makes sense because I think this is going to be very army oriented.
Yes, exactly.
Mm. Sarkhan Vol used to be a soldier.
Oh, before he went mad or dragon obsessed?
Before he was like, oh, I can just leave this plane that has no dragons on it?
Before his
I'm gonna do that.
Spark ignited.
Yes.
Okay. Makes sense.
I think the new keyword is gonna be Dragon Hope.
That is gonna be the lamest keyword, lamer than Constellation.
What? Your favorite keyword. I grew to love Constellation.
It's grown on me.
Yeah, you guys came around to Constellation?
Yeah, I really did.
Oh. Good for you guys.
What's Dragon Hope do?
Dragon Hope says if there's a dragon in play, this creature gets +1/+1.
Oh.
Okay.
Like it was hoping and then it's hopeless fulfilled.
Yeah. Baby dragons would be so cute.
There's already dragon hatchlings. We've had
dragon
those.
Egg.
Mm-hmm. Dragon egg, dragon hatchling. Yeah, ma'am. Dragon.
Dragon dating service.
What does that card do?
Dragon party.
Exile target dragon. If you control another dragon, then later you get another dragon egg, and then that dragon egg grows up. But it's really hard to get into Dragon College.
This is very, very convoluted.
Welcome to Flavor Text Theater presents Flavor Text Theater, the original Flavor Text Theater that we ever did, and I don't think we've done it since, where we're playing a little game. Ben and Megan have been handed stacks of random cards. They are only allowed to read the flavor text on said cards. I can say whatever I want in this game, but those two can only respond with flavor text from rando cards. I'm going to give them a situation, and it will be that they are maybe... What if I could be... You guys are investors looking to buy a water park from me. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me here at the water park that you may want to purchase.
Perfect.
Some fates you can see coming for you, plain as day, and there's nothing you can do about them.
Oh.
Sailors say they drowned.
Oh, yes, we have had a few drowning deaths here at this water park, but I assure you the tide pool has been dealt with.
Poets speak of your unrivaled speed.
Oh, thank you. Yes, yeah. I used to be a marathon runner in high school. Nobody really remembers that, though. That's awesome. Yeah, I broke my legs in a horrible tractor accident. So
one chance, one throw, one perfect hit.
Yeah, it was pretty perfect. That tractor really got me right below the knees. Both these legs are made of steel, chromium steel now. Anyway, it's not good. It's, you know, the water in the water park doesn't do well with my legs, so that's what's up for sale.
A body returned. A soul still lost.
Yeah, it's true.
Be content with its beauty alone.
Well, thank you. The park is very beautiful, aesthetically pleasing. I'm going to show you over here. This is a water slide. It's called the gigantic water slide because it's really big.
Even from miles away, I knew we were needed at home.
Oh, well, this could be your home. Think of this as your home, this new water park. We have a cabin for staff that you can...
If his whims are left unchecked.
Yeah, I agree, sure.
The gods gave us no wings to fly, but they gave us an even greater gift. Imagination.
I like where you're going with that. You can imagine this park as anything. Like, I'm not married to the way it is right now. You guys can buy it and change it.
A 12-ton block of marble?
Yes, exactly. You're so right. A statue at the entrance, perhaps.
Any festival you can walk away from wasn't worth attending in the first place.
Absolutely. We throw some crazy-ass parties here. At midnight, it's 18+. We put out some booze.
Like all tyranny, it must be opposed.
Well, you guys seem to have opposing business plans here. I'm kind of on the side of letting people go wild after midnight.
It's never good to walk into an ambush, but with the right spell, you might walk out again.
Sure. Don't lay your moral weirdness on me, buddy.
Some fruits are best left ungathered.
Okay, we'll let this go. Over here, you'll notice this is where we have our ice cream machines. Any flavor of ice cream at the water park? You wouldn't think water park plus ice cream, but...
Is it not the embodiment of our aspirations?
But I know I was.
Sure. Ice cream. Yes, if that's your goal, we've got tons of ice cream machines here at the water park. We also have this place where we sell swimsuits. All kinds of swimsuits. Ladies' suits, men's suits.
That didn't mean she could predict the ending.
Huh? Yeah, brother. I feel ya. Even if you're wearing a suit, you never quite know what's underneath.
You may never look away.
Oh, yeah?
You may not.
Okay.
Be content with beauty alone.
Very well.
Well, if you're interested, I have this form here for you to sign. It's 60 million.
I do not know.
Blessed by the gods, coveted by mortals, beholden to neither.
I agree. That's exactly what this park is. Now, if you just sign this paper, like I said, $60 million, it is yours. And I'm going to leave to fucking Jamaica. So, can you sign this now? I just need one person to sign this, and I'll be on my way, and you'll be the proud owners.
Share a love for the taste of human flesh?
I do. I do. Let's eat each other. Like cannibals.
I will soar higher than the walls of Akros.
My adopted children are loved no less.
Om nom 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 nom. And that has been Flavor Text Theater. Well, everybody, that's Magic the Amateuring for this week. Thank you for joining us.
It's good to be around with you guys and you guys around with us.
Yeah.
Oh, did we... Wait. I wanted to do a create a card. Oh, what was that create a card?
Okay. I don't remember what it was, but I wrote down two more.
Dukes, what were the other
Dukes
ones?
Dukes of Kraken.
Surprise Duke.
And then what was the melons one?
Combo melons.
Combo melon was... That was mine.
Okay. Hold on, let me think of something here.
Okay, I've got mine.
Okay. Create a card. Megan, you have a create a card for us?
Yeah, I have a combo melon.
Combo melon. What does it do?
Yeah. Although, it's not really a combo melon. It's just a melon. Sure. It's creature type melon.
Creature type melon.
It's one and a green. Mm-hmm. For an 03.
Mm-hmm. Yes, tell me more.
Sure.
And for red, you can sacrifice it to give another creature +2/+2 until end of turn. The end.
Okay.
Okay.
And if you have some shit that returns stuff from your graveyard, then it becomes a combo melon because you can just keep playing it. There you go. Whatever. Mostly I was going for the melon, you guys. The red is the inside of the melon that they're eating, and it makes them strong.
It's a watermelon.
It's a watermelon.
Maybe it should be blue, too.
What? No, because it's water. But it's green on the outside, one and a green, and then it's red on the inside, red. Sack it.
That's kind of cool.
It's like you're eating the melon.
I get
it. You're getting +2, +2, because I ate a melon.
It doesn't feel like a red card to me. I don't know.
Flavor police. My creative card is Surprise Duke. Mm. Surprise Duke. Mm-hmm. This is a 2/2 with Flash creature, so he's surprised. Mm-hmm. And he has the ability of King Me, which is tap, and sack to give another creature +2/+2. Mm. So he
surprise! I bet you weren't expecting that onboard trick.
No, the surprise is when he comes into play.
He has Flash.
Oh, you're playing that card? He has Flash and Haste?
He should have Haste also.
Yeah, okay, he has Haste.
Okay.
All right, so Flash, Haste, tap and sack to give another creature +2/+2.
Yes, King Me. It's called King Me.
What color is it?
King
Me?
Ooh.
It's going to have to be...
It's going to have to be every color.
Black. I think it's black.
No. Black doesn't get Flash or Haste. It gets Haste sometimes.
Blue gets Flash, red gets Haste. So blue, red.
Also, green gets Flash and Haste.
Oh, okay. So it has to be green?
So it's green.
It doesn't have to be.
It's green, black.
Green doesn't have dukes.
It costs green, black.
Because black has aristocracy. Never let someone duke.
A duke because it's an animal. Yeah. It's an animal world.
I'm going to go with green, black, you guys. I think it's green, black.
Okay. That's it.
Cool, guys. Well, it was fun to be you. You're a podcaster today. Maybe someday you'll be my podcaster. That'll be cool.
Maybe someday.
Tweet us an episode of your podcast at MTAcast.
Tweet us. We need some Dear Abby questions. Yeah. We'd love to throw the Dear Abby segment back on in here.
I need it.
So send us some Dear Abbeys. You can send those to magicTheAmaturing@gmail.com, or you can tweet them at us.
Any magic advice.
If you can't think of a Dear Abby, you can send us a What Up With That.
Yeah. Yes, you may also send us a What Up With That.
What do you mean?
A What Up With That is any statement that ends with the question, What Up With That?
Okay. Good enough for me.
Card drawn black only comes with life loss. What up with that?
Don't burn all the good ones.
Okay. Sorry, listener, if that was going to be your what up with that.
Please subscribe to us on iTunes.
You can leave us a review. We'll make a pun out of your username.
You can also leave us a review on Stitcher Radio.
We'll do you the same favor. The pun favor, not you on Stitcher.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not finding you on Stitcher. Unless you're on Stitcher, then we will.
Or you can give me a phone call. My phone number has exactly 2 8s in it. What up with that?
You can stop by and say hi online. I'm horny_unicorny.
I am ice cream socialist.
Ben doesn't play anymore.
I'm middle schooler, but I forgot my password, so.
Are you being real?
No, come on, guys, come on.
Ben wouldn't forget a password.
How many 8s are in your password?
How many 8s? There are no 8s, but it is the word 8 spelled out.
It's just, that's it. That's all of your password.
Yeah, but I spelled it wrong, so good luck, guys.
How do you misspell 8? A-T-E?
No, the number. But I misspelled it like...
E-I-H-G-T.
Thanks for listening, everybody. I hope you come back next week clean and showered.
I
yeah,
won't.
Not like this week, guys. Come on. You get it together.
Smell.
We know that it's Monday and you were out late Sunday night after a long weekend and you just couldn't bring yourself to get out of bed in time to shower today.
We forgive you, but next week the hammer's coming down. Bye, guys.
What up with that?